Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show, where we talk to a lot of leaders in the sports business community, and we have a great variety of guests on each week. We do this program at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, but in case you cannot listen live, you can always listen to our podcast. This show is podcast forever, so if there's a guest on and you want to listen but you can't listen live, you can always find the show on Blog Talk Radio under Gregory Crawford Sports, Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz, I should say. You can also follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops and as well at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. And of course, we bring you a lot of fabulous guests tonight and every night. And we've got one tonight that we hope will be calling in here pretty soon. I know he's got a lot of responsibilities, but we're going to talk to the Oregon School Athletic Associations, and that's my home state, and they govern high school sports in the state of Oregon. We're going to talk to Steve Walker, who I've known a long time and does a great job working with them, one of the executives with the organization. And hopefully Steve will be calling in pretty soon. He's always a lot of fun to talk to. It's a great organization. They have a tough job keeping a lot of people happy in a lot of different sports. But they do a great job at the Oregon School Athletic Association. And Steve, as I said, is one of their senior executives. And he is a great guy and a great worker, and he's on the air right now. And Steve Walker, welcome to Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. You hear me okay?
I can. It's just great, and we appreciate it. And Steve, I love to give people's official title, but I let them give it. What is your official title with the Oregon School Activities Association?
I'm the Sports Information Director.
Oh, that's way too simple.
Just plain old SID.
Yeah, we love that. Steve, how long have you had that job? And I've known you for a long time, and you were a very good athlete. And it's got to be kind of special that you kind of grew up with the OSAA, and now you're a big part of it.
Yeah, actually, I just finished my 15th year. I was thinking about that today. Nine as SAD at University of Portland, and I was starting to think about how the years have marched on, and 15 years has kind of flown by. But I think part of the reason has been, we always talk about how our kids grow up so quickly, and my kids all came up through high school at Westview High School and graduated and went on to University of Oregon and Oregon State, depending on who they are in the family. And now they're all but ones graduated. So 15 years doesn't seem so surprising when I think back.
And, of course, you have a great group of people to work with down there and then a great group of schools. I two guys that Steve, I always kind of quote them, is the great John Spoelstra, who worldwide is equally as famous as his son, Eric, and Stan Love, whose son isn't too bad, Kevin. And they always talk about how underrated high school sports are in the state of Oregon, and I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah, and going back to how you started out the comment there, I do work with a great group of people, and it starts at the top with our boss, Tom Welter, who was 18 years athletic director at Central Catholic, prior to the OSAA, and Brad Garrett, one of the assistant executive directors from Baker High School, Peter Weber, another Central Catholic high school guy. Tom's actually from Regis. Cindy Simmons, an assistant executive director who was at three high schools as an athletic director originally from the state of Mississippi. But, a lot of years of just kind of being in the trenches at the high school level. And, And yeah, I should mention my high school, Sunset High School. I got to give a shout out to the Apollos. So a lot of homegrown folks down there at the OSA, and that makes a lot of fun. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think there's been some. Gosh, the list we could spend all night talking about the great athletes that you know, have come out of the state of Oregon. But you know, high school sports in general, I just think back to, and I know a lot of us can, that were involved in, you know, whether it was band and orchestra or choir or football or baseball or whatever. At the high school level, we had these great mentors that made us want to kind of follow suit and be in the business that we're in currently. And, you know, I can go back and name people like Mike Sanderson, who was a longtime coach, eventually won a state baseball championship at Sunset High School. Had him as a freshman baseball and football coach when I was at Cedar Park Junior High back in the day. My high school basketball coach, Ken Harris, who only had for a year. We left the cupboard pretty bare, but he did come up and coach us at first in 80-81, and that happened to be my senior year. But I think back to Coach Harris and the way he treated us as athletes, student athletes, as men, you know, just really, I know, left a lasting impression for me just about sports in general. And I think that's why I'm working in it today.
Steve, why, you know, there are many sports that the OSAA governs across this great state, but why do you think that there's such a popularity with high school football? I mean, I would say 70-80% of the games are sold out, people ring in the field, and that goes for when it starts raining. It's just a really popular sport.
I think part of it is just the community of it. For me, just going up to a game on a Friday night and seeing the next generation of kids, you know, whether they're in the stands with a great student section or on flag lined or marching band or dance team, cheerleaders, especially when you get into league, there's that rivalry, but still that camaraderie of, you know, the opposing crowd, the opposing team's crowd that's coming to your field. I think just all of it together and the people who may be in place year after year in a particular school as that coach or the dance team coach or cheer advisor down the line. I just think when you put that all together, and let's not forget our radio broadcasters and video broadcasters that now more than ever seem to be a part of it. You can get a stream on a number of games on a Friday night, and of course over the air frequency and game via traditional radio as well. I think when you put the whole package together, it's just a lot of fun and a great way to spend a Friday night.
Yeah, no question. Steve, personally, and the terrific job you do, and I can attest to that firsthand, I know in the sports business you have to expect the unexpected. No day is pretty much the same, but give us a little flavor for what a typical day for you might be like as the OSAA Sports Information Director.
Yeah, what's funny is when you first make that comment, you know, who thought years ago in the sports information business, or, you know, PR is what I pretty much do, that we would be talking about drones. And I know that some of my media friends had fun with it last Thursday, but the OSAA did put out a policy prohibiting, you know, drones and the safety concerns that might arise, say, on a Friday night. Never thought I'd be thinking about that, you know, 10 years ago, but here we are. A typical day for me really is just planning why the teams are competing during their regular seasons. we, me, unlike my coworkers who might be doing a number of eligibility cases and reviewing the OSA rules and making sure they're interpreting someone's eligibility or attempt to be eligible correctly. For me, in the communications business, I'm strictly looking ahead to the first championship, which is cross country, at the beginning of November, followed by a week of volleyball or a Friday, Saturday where we're actually on site, quarterfinals, two finals, then Saturday of 8 championship soccer games, and then 3 weeks of football. For me, it's just making sure I have everything lined up. I'm responsible for there's still folks who want traditional phone lines as radio broadcasters. I'm responsible for making sure that I've dotted my I's and crossed my T's with IT folks to ensure that, you know, we have proper internet access at all our venues. And then after that, a lot of my job has been simplified by our website at osaa.org. And that's where schools are required now to go in at the varsity level and input their scores. You just go to osa.org and on the activity page, pick the sports you want, and you can see schedule and results for all 290 schools or in the activities that they're playing. But now that the schools can go and input their own rosters and that their schedule is already there, has been inputted, and that they're putting in the results and they can upload a team photo through our website, our IT folks have made it where we literally can create a PDF from what the schools have entered, and voila, I have a page to my game program. So that's another thing that, you know, we're, you know, working on as we go through the weeks of the playoffs, and making sure that all the schools have inputted their information, and setting up the statistical crews. If it's after the season, after championship, updating our archives. It's typical sports information work for those who are in the business. The real fun for me, it's a 9-to-5 job for the majority of the year. But what's fun is when we get to get out of the office, go help conduct the championships, and work at the great venues and all the great, whether it's high school or University of Oregon or Oregon State. Or, you know, the folks at the Moda Center or, you know, University of Portland. It's just great to be out in those venues, and it never gets old watching kids try to win state championships.
Oh, that's terrific and great answer there, Steve. And I might add just an editorial comment. Most websites stink. Even to this day, with all this practice everybody has and people that are in the business, most websites are not good, but the OSAA.org is one of the best websites you'll find way beyond the sports field, just period. So if you haven't been there, and Steve, we got a ton of listeners tonight, you could probably take 10 football games and it wouldn't add up to the amount of listeners we got tonight. So if you want to go to the OSAA.org, you better go there and you're going to learn a lot. Steve, you talked a lot about championships tonight, and what goes into the thought process of the site of a championship? Because it does move from time to time in all sports where the championships are headquartered, and I think that's good, but I imagine there's a lot of planning that has to go into that, no matter what the sport is, where you're going to conduct a championship.
Yeah, you know, honestly, finances plays a huge part in that. I'd be lying to you if I say it didn't. Let's just look at a couple of recent moves. We could have speak a whole other segment just on the format of our basketball tournaments and how they're currently doing. But we just recently moved a tournament out of Matthew Knight Arena at University of Oregon, the 5A tournament, which moved up to Gill Coliseum, and the 4A tournament, which had been at Gill, moved into one of our high schools, Liberty High School, and Century was the additional site to that tournament last year. Similarly, the 6A basketball tournament moved out of the Motive Center to the University of Portland, and ended up being a great move. The 6A tournament was well attended, and the boys doubleheader, we played a third and third place game and final together in the session, and you couldn't have put another person in there. There were people sitting all over the place. It was just a wonderful atmosphere with West Lynn and Jesuit going head-to-head for the title. And then similarly, the girls' doubleheader in the nightcap drew nearly 2,800 people, and it was just a wonderful crowd. When you take that same crowd in Motive Center, you know, it's just not as financially feasible. The Motive Center folks have been fantastic, as was University of Oregon and Matthew Knight Arena. But it comes a time, you know, they have to look at, can they afford to have the OSAA there, and can the OSAA afford to be there, especially if you're playing a 9 a.m. consolation game and there's more people working security and more of us working the tournament than they're actually paying customers and people in the stands. And again, that's a whole nother topic. But when it comes down to choosing sites, a lot of it has to do with where the OSAA can get a good deal. I think, you know, playing in our member schools, if it makes sense and it's a good enough facility with other amenities like parking, et cetera, then that is, I think, being good stewards of the school's money when trying to come up with sites. You know, at the same time, I think right now, I think more than ever, I hear come out of my boss's mouth, I hear Tom mention, you know, we can't just have everything in the Portland area. You know, we have to be sensitive to the fact that we are a state association, not a city of Portland association. But, you know, we're limited in number with what we can do. So, you know, that's part of it. A long answer to your short question, Greg, is, I think finances plays a large role in it currently.
And, Steve, you kind of led me into my next question, is that you and I combined lived in this state over 100 years. That's the only thing I'm going to lead you in. I've got the most years there, in case anybody's wondering. But we've been here over 100 years, and we know that there's constant bickering about urban and rural and everything, and I imagine that's something, I'll take your word, which was a great one, the OSAA has to be very sensitive about honoring those rural schools because they're an important part of the process, but yet on the other hand, it's the Willamette Valley that drives the bus in this state.
That's right, and the large schools happen to be in, you know, you look at the largest classification, 6A, and I don't know what the current number is, but it's a great majority, Greg, of the schools are just in the corridor from Salem on up. And so it very much makes sense to have the 6A boys and girls basketball tournament, for example, in the Portland area. You know, there are other things that come up, like during classification and districting, where I think that it's, you know, more than anything where we need to be cautious of decisions and whatnot, and that's how it affects the folks that are, you know, traveling great distances for just a league game. You know, gosh, back in the day when I was at Sunset in the old Metro League, I mean, it felt like it took me 20 minutes to drive to Park Rose on, you know, down 26 and 84. And, you know, those days, of course, of coming by. You look at the other side of the state, some of these teams, you know, they'll travel, you know, in 5 hours round trip easy just for a league game. And with some of them, that's even on the short end. So I think, you know, depending on what you're talking about, championships or classification and districting, I think, you know, there's got to be some give and take, and I think that's why our executive board has a representation that it does you know, between the classifications. But you're right. When you get right down to it, the majority of the population of the schools and the large schools themselves that drive a lot of it are in the Willamette Valley corridor and in the Portland area.
Steve, I'm intrigued. Do you get calls like this from now on? And I'm just going to pick out a name here. You know, Culver, okay, let's pick out Culver. I don't know why I'm doing that, but I am. Do you get calls from those schools that might not get the extensive publicity that other schools might, and say, how can I get some publicity for my school? Is that part of your job, too?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because, you know, a lot of times people ask me specific questions about a team here or a team there. So many schools that, you know, for me, especially like with the individual sports, with like track and field, it's a big database of information. Just like everybody else, I'm reading Oregon Live or Portland Tribune or all the local papers. I'm listening to radio, so I have an idea of who's who and who are the you know, the real stars going into postseason. But otherwise, we're just kind of isolated in Wilsonville, like I said, kind of going about my business, getting ready for the championship. So from a promotion standpoint, from time to time, I will get a call from an athletic director who might ask us more of not so much getting advice on how to promote what they're doing, but maybe more of a media relations question on, you know, how they can go about being a better partner with like their local newspaper or radio station, which I guess when you get down to it, that of course will help your promotion, but your publicity and awareness of your program. But I think personally, and one of the great things about my job is I've been able to get to know so many great people across our state in all different areas. There are so many great media folks that just do a wonderful job covering our local team. So I think, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody, because I'm sure there's people out there listening that think, wow, I wish our local newspaper would cover our girls' soccer team a little bit better, or, you know, our boys' swimming team. But I think overall, when you look at it, we get pretty good coverage in the state. So those questions are the calls I might get from the member schools are fewer than you might think.
Steve, let me ask you this. You know, I do a show with Jason Breaux on Monday night, the Portland Pilot Show, and we've talked a lot about this is a big change in the business. Rather than waiting for the content to come to you, you know, the pilots, and I know Mike Lund has done that, you're now producing your own content. Is that something that you're working with? And by that, I mean, for the listener out there that may not know the ins and outs of the business, rather than calling up, you know, the local affiliate, you take the content to them and see what they'll do with it. That's a big change in the business.
Huge change. I remember, and you speak of Jason Breaux, awesome SID at University of Portland, of course, Mike Lund, just a great guy. Great win by the Vikings the other day, as I was happy.
Oh, yeah.
For those guys, the business has completely changed. From I remember being at the Child Center when I was SID at University of Portland and having to fax out box scores to you know, make sure that, you know, you got in front of everybody. Now I'm, you know, you can essentially decide to be your own media outlet, and like what you're referring to, drive your own content. I wish we did more, and I think the time will come when you'll see the OSAA do more of that. I think University of Oregon and their site, and Rob Mosley, who They actually, the Ducks actually call him their editor-in-chief, where they get out and get ahead of some stories, and there's so much interest in Duck athletics right now that, you know, they get out there and push their own content. I think, you know, for a site like ours that is trying to be the hub of high school information in the state, at some point we will have to get beyond just providing the scores and the updated standings. And I have some coworkers that already are doing that. And mainly that is for, as a service for our member schools. We're trying to do a tip of the week on a particular rule that might be a video of my coworker, Kyle Stanfield. But I think the interest in, you know, from the general public and good stories about what these kids are doing, I think those are stones that we've left unturned at this point that we're going to have to do more of. But, yeah, getting back to your original question, it very much has changed. You know, I think now you can put your information up on your site and walk away. Now there still has to be some you know, some promotion of getting people interested in wanting to come and look at your site, you know, other than just media folks that might be coming and looking at a box score that I may have posted after a state championship football game. But, yeah, it's a brave new world. And you know what's crazy about the whole internet? I remember back to the days at UP, Greg, we would be so busy. I was like a one-man band, one-and-a-half-man band there. I had some great assistants helping me out, but I was the one full-time guy, and thank goodness I had the people I did over the years, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. But we spend so much time on men's and women's soccer. You have Rob Connor's cross-country program, and, you know, Rob always being the salesman for his program and whatnot would, you know, hey, when are we going to be able to get this? When are we going to be able to get that? Okay, all right, well, we got to do this, Rob, and we're going to get to it. In this brave new world of the internet, you can't just go and hide and say, well, I'm going to work on this, and then maybe we'll get to that. Because of the internet, everyone wants to look at everything now and after it happens. There's got to be, I'm sure, after a cross-country race, Jason Breaux and staff are posting results just as fast as they can with cross-country, yeah, with a write-up. You know, that type of thing. I think the internet's been a great thing. It can be a curse for the SID because everybody wants everything now, but at the same time, it's just great because there's just so much more information on everything out there.
Steve, we're out of time. Great job tonight, and we'll have you back on in a month. How's that sound?
I'd love it. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate letting me talk about the OSA and what we're doing. Thanks very much.
I got so many more questions. We're going to bring back Steve 1 month from tonight. And thanks to Steve Walker, the OSAA Sports Information Director at OSAA.org. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back again next Tuesday night, same time. Good night, everyone. Make all your free throws.